But right now we go down the South Street Burger Guest Hotline. Our pal, our buddy, our friend Chris Johnston was in Winnipeg yesterday. He watched two of the great rookie performances, I guess, of the modern era as the Maple Leafs and the Jets dueled in Patrick Laine with a hat trick and came back in overtime. And Chris, I can only imagine that you're still somewhat speechless today after watching what you watched in Winnipeg. That was something else.
Well, they're just making it seem like you should expect it now, aren't they? I mean, I've been to three NHL regular season games this year, and one of them was the Matthews Forhold game. The other one was Laine's hat trick last night. So it does seem sort of the extraordinary looking somewhat ordinary, but that was quite something. And you know, especially with some of the hype and the build-up. And, of course, a lot of people remembering that Patrick Laine, even though he was far more toned down leading into this game, but you know, some of his comments about wanting to be, you know, considered better than Matthews and those types of things. I mean, he showed up and under those sort of circumstances and, you know, helped the Jets really rescue one out of the fire after being down 4-0 in that game.
So how would you, being there and watching it play itself out, I mean, today, those who didn't spend any time watching the game last night will see the highlights and they'll see these three goals that Laine scored, and including the overtime winner, which was a beautiful goal. But, you know, was he impactful? Was he just a guy, right place, right time? How was his performance last night against Toronto?
Well, through my eyes, the biggest thing that stood out is he's sort of like a lot of the really lethal goal scorers that, you know, there's wide swaths of time where you don't notice them so much. I mean, part of that's playing as a winger and just kind of looking for a spot. But obviously, when he gets the puck anywhere in an area of the ice where you can score from, I mean, his odds are pretty good. He's just got such a ridiculous release and an ability to find those goals. And, you know, he's done it throughout his life. And it appears that he's not going to have to wait too long as an NHL player before he's doing it with regularity for the Jets, who have already four goals in four games to start his career. So, you know, pretty impressive the way he's able to do that. And, you know, that was kind of how he was built. It's just that, you know, we're used to, you know, trying to preach some patience, especially with guys that are just a couple months removed from the draft, but it sometimes takes a little bit more time before they're able to do that right away in the NHL.
What about Austin Matthews? I mean, you mentioned it before, the first game in Ottawa, he has the four goals and everybody's got, you know, perks up. And I don't want to suggest that, you know, a couple games later, what has he done for me lately? But how has, you know, the last week gone for Austin?
Well, it went downhill from the four-goal game, but, I mean, he's only played two games since. Night was kind of interesting for him because certainly defensively, him and his line mates, and he's also playing with two rookies in William Nylander and Zach Hyman, defensively, there's a few shifts where they really got trapped in their own zone and weren't able to execute a breakout and obviously get to the parts of the ice where they make the other team feel uncomfortable. And that was something I think that stood out to Mike Babcock. But then at the end of the night, when you look at the score sheet, he had seven shots on net, including a breakaway in overtime that was stopped just before Laine got the winner. He picked up an assist on a power play goal by William Nylander, a primary assist, and still did a lot of good things. It just, even though obviously hasn't had the magic of that first night, but, you know, I do think that now he'll be finding his way a little bit more. Just in terms of, you know, they played last night, they played tonight in Minnesota. You know, the kind of the grind is real now. And you know, I think as you go along for anything you do new, there's going to be, you know, some of the novelty wears off and you really have to get to work. And, you know, I think that's maybe what's set in a little bit for Austin. But, you know, there's nothing I've seen of any concern or nothing the Leafs seem concerned with at this point. It's just he's going to have to find his way, but he's still getting some points and certainly creating a lot of scoring opportunities while doing it.
Chris Johnston from Sportsnet, our guest on the South Street Burger Guest Hotline. Not necessarily directly related to this game, although the Maple Leafs have scored four goals in all three of their games, so they're playing a part in this. It was interesting to see, not a weekend, small sample size, but goal scoring up rather dramatically in the National Hockey League through the first 50 games by a full goal. Chris, no new goalie equipment. That was supposed to come, but it hasn't come. Why such an early dramatic rise, do you think?
Well, I mean, it seems to have gone in lockstep with the number of teams around the league that have big question marks in goal or concerns. And obviously those two stats are related. I mean, I don't know. I mean, we've seen a lot of teams, I think even more than in the past, go young, something we've talked about a lot. And, mm-hmm. and you know, that means more talent infused into the league. It might also mean more mistakes being made, a little bit of the inexperience. You know, the goaltending is an issue because, you know, there's a few teams in particular where, you know, I think that the teams that are expected to be good that are having some issues at that position. I mean, I'm not sure that at this point we can isolate one specific thing or even a handful and say definitively that's what it is. But I do think I speak for most people who love this game that you know, keep it up because, you know, with that number of goals we've seen a lot of big comebacks in games, a lot of exciting games, and, you know, obviously some of these nice individual performances that get people talking too. So I'm not sure if this trend will be here to stay, but it would be kind of nice, I think, if we had more goals in general because, you know, it has been an issue the last few years, just how it's sort of been going the wrong way on the bell curve with in terms of the total number scored around the league.
Yeah, I mean, I'm right there with you. I'd like to see the same thing, but I'm sorry. It's still the National Hockey League. I still believe there's 30 coaches, you know, going home at night trying to contemplate ideas on how to cut down goals and not score more. It just doesn't have that feel of permanent to me at this point.
No, I mean, you know, that's the truth. I mean, you know, it's just probably a weird kind of set of circumstances. I mean, maybe training camps not being totally normal with the World Cup starting, and then maybe everyone isn't kind of fully up to speed the way you might expect, or maybe it's just a weird week where there's a lot more bounces going the way of the shooters than the goaltenders.
Chris, before we fully leave Winnipeg and Toronto, I just want to ask you about the Heritage Classic this weekend. You and I had some fun the last visit about these outdoor games, but the news coming out today that it's not sold out, does that surprise you, A, and B, what were some of the things you were hearing around Winnipeg in terms of this big event?
Well, the only negative thing that I'd heard, or it sort of as a complaint about it, was that I guess when they sold the ticket packages, you had to buy for both games, meaning the alumni game on Saturday and the Heritage Classic itself on Sunday. So, you know, that you know, might have kind of accounted for it. I don't think that there's a ton of tickets still available, but, you know, it is surprising. I mean, especially because I did really sense a buzz in the city for that. I mean, it was kind of signage everywhere and people already there talking about that game, even though there was still the game with the Leafs last night ahead of it. And you know, there really did seem to be a lot of excitement. And maybe, you know, this announcement, some people might have thought it was sold out. They might go buy up those tickets. But, you know, they've had this a couple times. I remember the L.A. outdoor game. They played at Dodger Stadium a couple years ago. I'm not sure if they got to a full sellout or if they did. They got there just under the wire. It does happen from time to time. But, you know, a little bit of surprise, especially in such a place like Winnipeg, where whenever you're there, man, you know that hockey's on everyone's mind.
Chris Johnston from Sportsnet, our guest down the South Street Burger guest hotline, our NHL insider here on Flames at 5. A couple of, player notes, roster notes. Let's start first with Pittsburgh. They get Matt Murray signed to a contract extension, and kind of a reasonable one, 3-year extension at 3.75. Would we consider that a bridge? Is that too long and too much to be a bridge deal? How do we view the deal that Pittsburgh gave today?
I classify that as a bridge, and, you know, we have to remember, as much as Matt Murray went on and won a Stanley Cup with the Penguins, you know, last year was his first year playing any NHL games, and, you know, it didn't happen, I believe, until around Christmas when Marc-Andre Fleury suffered his first concussion of the season. So, you know, as good as he was as an NHLer and as great as his NHL career started, I mean, there's not a huge track record here, and for him to get, you know, 3 years at you know, just a little bit less than $4 million per year, that's quite a bit of security for him, you know, really early in his pro days, and he's earned it. And, you know, it's going to be a good contract, I think, for Pittsburgh, especially, you know, once they get beyond what everyone is thinking about, which is coming in June with the expansion draft. And, you know, one way or another, I believe Marc-Andre Fleury is quite likely not to be in the Penguins net beyond that point. And, you know, if Matt Murray is the number one goalie, as he's shown himself capable of, I mean, to have him on that reasonable contract is going to be a real win for that team, because, you know, they've always kind of been butting right up against the salary cap every year with just the amount of money they have tied up in their star players.
I'm a little bit sheepish about asking this next question, but I will ask it anyway. Jimmy Rutherford, the general manager of Pittsburgh, said, hey, don't get ahead of yourself here. That doesn't necessarily mean we have to trade Marc-Andre Fleury. But let's be realistic here. Chris, Marc-Andre Fleury is going to eventually have to go, isn't he?
There's a chance he doesn't. You know, and this is one thing, that, you know, I remember speaking with Jim Rutherford even back through last year's playoffs, that, you know, he's one of the few GMs that was around the last time there was expansion. and has been through an expansion draft process before. And, you know, even back then when kind of the first details of that were emerging, you know, he was pretty clear that, you know, that maybe they work out a trade, which is something that's happened in the past where you can essentially, say, trade a draft pick to Las Vegas to say, you know, don't claim Marc-Andre Fleury or Matt Murray or whichever the two guys would officially be exposed in this draft. And, you know, he was just saying that was always an avenue that they could explore. Obviously, there's a lot of, I guess, things that could happen over the course of a hockey season. Matt Murray wasn't on too many radars beyond scouts, but certainly in terms of in the public conversation at this time last year. You know, who knows where we'll be a few months down the road now. So I think that he's very careful. First of all, mindful, because Marc-Andre Fleury really means a lot to the Penguins. You know, I think that probably the most popular member of that team, you know, inside the dressing room, and, you know, obviously very popular in the fan base after, you know, playing there for the last 13 years. But, you know, there's a scenario where he remains on, but it's still, you know, I think we would term it a long shot. And, you know, maybe when it comes that time, I do think the relationship is good enough that perhaps there's a trade that gets worked out that Marc-Andre Fleury wants to be part of, or, you know, maybe he even wants to waive his no movement clause and essentially agree to become the number one goalie for the Vegas franchise. That might be something that appeals to him at that point in time. So, you know, it doesn't seal his fate by any means, but, you know, I think, you know, we've kind of, for the last, you know, really since seeing Matt Murray emerge in the playoffs and essentially take his job on that stage, we've known that it likely meant that Marc-Andre Fleury's time is limited now in Pittsburgh.
Finally, all eyes remain fixed to Anaheim, off to a slow start, 0-3-1 so far. New coach and some older players, but they're missing a rather key RFA defenseman in Hampus Lindholm. I guess we're all waiting for something to shake free so they can sign him. What are you hearing, or what do you feel happens in Anaheim, and will it happen quickly?
Well, we're down to what I think is a one phone call kind of scenario where each side, you know, really knows where the other one is at. It doesn't appear that they're too far apart in terms of the numbers. And you know, it literally, you know, it just takes one picking up the phone and saying to the other, okay, let's get it done, and here we go. And, you know, I have to think that it can't drag on much longer. I mean, certainly a very tough road trip that Anaheim's had starting on the East Coast. And I believe they have 1 point to show for their four games heading into tonight. You know, it's really a dreadful start under Randy Carlyle's second tenure there for the Ducks. And, you know, while you don't pin that all on missing, you know, one player, Hampus Lindholm is arguably, to me, their number one defenseman. So getting him back will be a priority, I would think, sooner than later. And, you know, as I mentioned, with that number being kind of crystallized after Rasmus Ristolainen signed at $5.4 million, I think that the average annual value of the Lindholm contract should be very close to that. You know, likely just a little bit above it, because he's giving up an extra year of unrestricted free agency to sign a 6-year deal. And I, you know, just can't see a lot of motivation for the Ducks to keep grinding them there. But, you know, as of today, it doesn't sound like anything's coming out tonight. But, you know, I do think that they're close enough that this could happen quite quickly.
Great stuff as always, Chris. Appreciate this, my friend. We will talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Thank you very much, Rob.